Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. With rising interest rates, there's a lot of unpredictability, a lot of anxiety out there. Our friends at Quicken Loans are doing something about that. The power buying process. They'll verify your income, assets, credit in under 24 hours and give you a verified approval. Then you have the strength of cash buyer, which is important when you're out there in the real world. Once verified, you qualify for the all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval. They'll lock in your rate up to 90 days while you shop. If rates go up, your rate stays the same. But if rates go down, your rate drops. You can't lose, man. Either way, you're going to win. Get started today. Go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam. Dawson.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Michael Ironside. With Gina Grad on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, a call from RJ Bell for his Week 5 NFL picks, and we guess the value of movie props in a round of Hollywood hand-me-downs. And now, he did it all for the Nookie, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get a mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Find someone you love. Share the show. It's free. Just pop it on their phone for them. They'll love it. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
It's matzo ball day.
Every day's matzo ball day.
I read it.
Hard enough.
Believe
tweet
in yourself.
After a tirade about Limp Bizkit and the Nookie, like, hey, old man Carolla, you're smart, you're funny, but you don't know anything about music. It's like, I get it every time. It's like, are you defending that song? It's not even a song.
They're trying to get you upset. That's ridiculous. Right. No one can honestly defend
point.
That.
Yeah.
No,
I always just tell them thanks for listening, but I don't know.
Not Fred Durst.
I don't know. I think there are. Here's what I think. If people are the right age, if people, especially boys, if boys are between the age of 11 and 16, okay, and they hear something or they see something, it's either a movie or a song, or maybe it's a player. You know, Isaiah Robinson was the best outside linebacker the NFL's ever produced. I was like, well, he was a Ram, and you watched him when you were 11, and you thought he was really good, and he looked good in his uniform, but he didn't. He wasn't that. But
he was awesome to you then.
You were highly impressionable.
You lock something in, yeah, especially sonically. You lock it. I think girls, just like they have with their sexuality, they're like a little more fluid.
I'm with you.
Sure.
But guys, you lock something in at 13 and a half, and that guy will take that to his grave, and they get fiercely defensive about it as well. I think... Yeah.
They can't even admit it's their own nostalgia. It's just good, and you miss the boat.
Well, it's interesting.
Always going on about John Hyatt and you know,
right,
Joe Jackson,
exactly,
Graham Parker.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. But... continue. Well, first off,
for example,
they're good.
You know, no,
number one.
You can separate yourself from all the idiots you're talking about.
Absolutely. You think they're good.
Max Bata, you know something about music. I listen to all kinds of music.
Yeah.
I have good fucking musical taste. That's how my taste works, because I'm smart, yeah, and I have a good ear, and I know what works and what doesn't work. John Hyatt and Graham Parker are good, and I listened to them my entire life.
Right.
I didn't stop listening to them when I was in high school and move on. And they've evolved and done different types of music as well. And some bands I've dropped off with because they've sort of stopped doing music. But the ones I liked then, I usually like now. And I like new stuff, too. But these guys locked it off at 13 and a half, like a movie. You should be able to go back and look at a movie that you thought was the funniest thing ever. Like, I would see Gene Wilder movies like The World's Greatest Lover, something like that from, you know, 1977, or a Bond movie. That was the greatest thing ever.
Roger the Bond.
It's a nonstop thrill.
And now you look at it, and the gadgets look a little corny, and the script's a little corny, and the pace is a little off, and the action's not as good. Don't stick with your tune of it's the greatest ever.
Yeah.
But this is now dovetailing into sort of what we were talking about yesterday, which is, don't have an answer chambered when somebody says to you, hey, this was left out or this was left open or why didn't you do this? Don't feel you got to go sort of, I always picture skee ball where you throw the skee ball and it comes in the hole and comes right back down. It doesn't need to come back at them.
Yep.
And same way with the films, music, or what have you. Now, women, I got to say, I do look back on some of those Playboy gals.
With fondness.
Circa, you know, 1979 or something.
The
and I go, I'm still down with this. And I'm sticking with it.
Yeah.
You want
10 lines on the boobs.
You want to talk about, but I don't think, like, if you want to, like, as you talk about the aforementioned, although many shows ago, you take someone like Candy Loving, Miss, Playmate of the Year, 1980, she fucking holds up. I mean,
I'm going to need to see another picture.
You don't look at her and go, well, I guess that's what guys thought was attractive back then. But of course, we've changed our minds and moved on to the Kardashians or waif models or the super heroin chic or whatever it is. You look at Candy Loving circa 1979, 1980, and you go, that's it. And that will never go out of fashion. And that isn't one of those, well, I've evolved and moved on and changed my taste.
Come on, Kaylin, got a picture of Gadzooki quite quick.
All right, it is a clean air day or clean air week or whatever's going on here in Los Angeles. I have stuff to complain about.
And it's going to rain today. In a weird coincidence.
I also have a follow-up with Brian when it comes to...
Hold on.
Can we take a break? Can we get on the same page here with Candy Loving?
I'll let him find an outstanding picture of Candy.
That's not an outstanding
Candy
picture?
Second
to the end.
They're all outstanding. I mean, they're all just...
Oh, my God.
She's just boobs for days, long and tan, just beautiful face and hair. I mean...
The dated hair looks good.
Yeah.
Feathered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Find me some more Candy Loving. I don't know that there's any playmate that does better than that. You know, now it's tattoos and boob jobs and...
Well, it was the Limp Bizkit era of playmates, too.
Right.
You know?
Oh,
the whole late 90s, you know, super aggressive, the weird-shaped boobs.
Thin eyebrows.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you, if I'm running Playboy, whatever era I'm in... As I said to you guys, I don't like to talk about cars on the show. I do a show called CarCast, and I kind of limit it to that because I understand this is not CarCast.
There's probably a lot of people listening.
Every once in a while, I would like to hear something.
I told you Jaguar built a $1 million replica of one of their 1960s lightweights, a continuation of the serial number. It's like sort of half fake, half real, but still built in Gaydon, England, or wherever they build them, and the same craftsman and the same whatever. And when they talked to Lord March over at Goodwood and said, can this $1 or $1.5 million car participate in your event? He said, no.
It's purist.
Right.
Like
I would say that about boobs if I ran Playboy. If I'm a no Playmate, no fake titties. Mm. We're Playboy.
That's a hard stance.
Well, hey, find me some chicks with nice tits or the girl next door. That was kind of the whole thing. We're us. We're not you porn.
You know, we're Google Christmas right now.
They should.
I think that was
saying,
Playboy's
thing. They should. I think
they should have kept with it.
Playboy kind of jumped the shark when they allowed the silicone titties into the thing. Your idea is to find nature at its best, not went down to the Beverly Hills guy and paid him $5,000.
I think that whole era begat. Remember the magazine called, was it called Perfect 10? There was a magazine that was like
we
all
know,
natural.
We don't know, Brian.
Well, Adam and I would know. There was a magazine short.
Yes.
I think
there's
it was
one called
lived,
Perfect 10.
But it was
like
all natural. That was their whole thing. No injection, no nothing. It was all, natural beauties. And I think it begat that, out of necessity.
All right. So anyway,
the necessity of having, you know, naked women.
Sure. That's yes. right. It
real fake boobs.
Perfect 10.
Perfect 10. All right. Let's see. Michael Ironside is come. Oh, he is here. All right. We'll bring him in 1 second. Clean air. Got stuff to complain about.
I watched the movie today.
Oh, you watched his movie?
His movie, that's right.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
As well as, of course, Top Gun and Starship
Jester.
Troopers, Total Recall, Scanners, remember that, The Machinist, lots of stories. Yes.
I mentioned it the last time I was in here. I'll mention it briefly because it should blow your mind and everyone listening. You know, Dan Mishek and I do the actor redundancies, mm-hmm. the things that happen to actors in more than one unrelated movie. Michael Ironside plays a man who lost one or both arms in 3 films. Total Recall, Starship Troopers, and The Machinist.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
Good call.
Good get.
What are the chances?
I will tell you guys, this half of the show is brought to you by Quicken Loans. Go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. Dos Equis, official beer, sponsor, college football playoff. Castrol Edge, titanium strong for maximum engine performance. And Medmen. Go to medmen.com. Let them know I sent you. All right. So, Brian, mm-hmm. I got Natalia's old bed set up in the other shop. Yeah, I'm looking to find it a home or
deal?
Break it down or donate it to a homeless encampment. Did you throw a tape measure on Tessa's bedroom floor? And what do you got?
We did, but we also got her a big girl bed.
Oh, okay.
I know. So unfortunately, it was 2 things. One, as cool as the platform bed was, Christy and I agreed. She mostly agreed. It's too high for Tessa. She's mm-hmm. rolling out of her bed. Mm. And all of the walls, like I said, are broken up by windows or closets or doors. So it's okay. going to have to go to another
Take this
home.
In spirit in which it's intended. Feel free to share that information with the guy who's staring at the bed in his parking lot going, well, I don't know what we're going to do with that. We got to get the measurements back.
I should have mentioned that. It was only 4 days ago. But yes, you're right. I should have mentioned that.
Was it only 4 days ago?
It was this weekend. So what is today? Wednesday? Yeah, it was this weekend. Saturday.
Oh, that you got
the
big bed.
We got the big girl bed. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Okay. Send an email.
Okay. Okay. You're right. I should have.
To be fair, this is the first day you've seen him since Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Now, if you'd like to do what everyone else in my life does, mm-hmm. which I can't argue with, but I never believe, which is you... Here, we'll do this again.
Okay.
You be me.
Okay.
I'll be you.
Sure.
And then I'll do the insanely unsatisfying thing that almost everyone I know does to me. All right?
Hey, Brian, as it pertains to that bed,
mm.
well, first of all, by the way, you're doing a great job on the show. You've really upped your game, and honestly, I don't know what I'd do without you. But back to the bed.
Mm.
Feel free to send an email next time.
Mm.
You know, that you got a little, you got a big girl bed for Tessa. So I'm
no.
Stuck.
We'll start at the
very beginning.
Sorry.
Sorry about that. We can
start
the compliment.
Some compliment. We'll take it from the top.
Yeah,
here we
go. Okay.
Have fun with it.
Hey, Brian.
Mm.
I know you're, you know, in the process of looking to upgrade Tessa's bed situation. Did you ever lay down that tape measure and figure out if the
we got our big girl bed and, I talked to Christy about it, and the platform's too high. And plus, the wall, there's always a window or there's something on everyone. So we're just not going to go that direction.
Okay. Well, good information to know maybe a week ago, so I wouldn't have been housing this bed for however many days.
Yeah, I was going to tell you during the break.
Oh. Oh, that's a remarkable coincidence.
Yeah, no, I was going to tell you during the break.
This break coming up on this show?
Yeah, this is a break.
Oh, that's weird that you would wait to just after I mentioned.
That's when I was going to tell you.
Okay.
Well. As a matter of fact, if you didn't... Cut me off.
I have no choice but to believe you.
I was for sure going to tell you during the break.
Well, that's my fault then for cutting you off. And
I was about to tell you this.
Really, you've mentioned it a few times.
Yeah, because I was thinking about it.
Okay, well, I've overstepped my bounds here. I'm going to go throw away that
bed. You know how I was opening my mouth when you were talking?
Uh-huh.
That's what I was going
to say.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
What a coincidence.
But you cut me off.
What a coincidence.
Yeah, right now.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I feel bad then for even bringing it up. I feel like I
Well, I was going to tell you during the break.
Right. But I jumped the gun and brought it up proactively.
Right. And I know I gave no signs or clues whatsoever.
You didn't actually.
That I was going to do
that. I honestly thought you had forgotten about it.
I played
it.
Close to the vest and then I explode with information.
You were remarkably taciturn.
Well, I wanted to tell you yesterday, but you just caught out of here.
We stuck around for...
You just blew out of here like a desert wind.
Actually, I had a meeting that was a half hour later. I remember just killing time.
I remember thinking, I need to tell you yesterday.
I did 10 minutes on almonds.
And then anyway, I wanted to tell you yesterday.
Who left them open?
And then
how
you
much
were
dry roasted,
but you were leaving, and you were in a hurry.
I actually remember being quite bored after the show yesterday.
Well, anyway,
uncharacteristically.
Well, I started to tell you yesterday, and then you yelled, "Shut up! No information about raised beds,
that doesn't
please."
Sound like me? In fact, I don't remember thinking that.
Yeah, you said that.
I did.
I remember yesterday I was about to tell you that we didn't want the bed, and you just whipped around and started screaming, no more bed talk.
Was I yelling to Dylan about beds, and you thought I was yelling at you? Because that sounds
nobody was there to witness this.
Oh, wow.
Including Dylan.
So you and I were alone.
It was just me and you.
Okay.
But discussing I remember what happened and you didn't.
Uh-huh, and I lashed out, in your words.
I had begun construction on a time machine to go back in the future and tell you we didn't need the bed before you offered it. But then you jumped in and told me to put the screwdriver down and to stop
I do remember the screwdriver incident now. It's so foggy.
Yeah. So anyway, I was going to tell you yesterday.
Okay.
But you blew out of here. Okay. And then I started to tell you today, but you cut me off. Yeah. And then I had a plan to tell you during the break.
I guess I did it to myself.
Hey, guys, sorry, we were supposed to start the show like an hour ago.
It's kind of on you.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
You guys want to
Gina,
start?
Pipe down.
Okay.
Do you know how much that happens in my life where I say someone and they go, I was about to tell you.
I was about to tell you. Like, to be fair, I wasn't about to tell you.
I know. A bunch of days went by and you didn't say anything.
Yeah, sorry about that.
And then you get into some weird world where you go, but I saw you 2 days ago and you didn't say anything. You didn't say anything. You didn't ask. And it's like, wait, that's not how it's supposed to work.
No, I dropped
but anyway,
on that one.
Yes, it's insanely unsatisfying because when a person says, I was about to tell you during the break, you really have no recourse but to call them a liar.
I know you're not telling me the truth.
All you do is yell liar in their face. That's all. All right, so
thank you for the gracious offer. That's a very cool bed, but it's not going to work for a two-year-old.
I get it. So now, Gina,
hi.
The adopt. I don't know what I'm doing with this bed. Dawson, your mom's coming to town to stay somewhere, right?
She is. She's going to stay in the spare bedroom where I already have a bed. However, let's just think about this. I need a drum riser for the garage.
A stage, maybe, instead of a bed.
It could work as a stage in the garage. It's got steps, drum riser
it's got steps
on it.
Built into it. It's got drawers built into it.
I think I might have to come over and look at it.
This will be like the Tales of Manhattan or New York stories where we see this thing just travel around.
Follow it.
Mm-hmm. And then at some point, somebody's going to be like, I'm a Cuban refugee and I need a makeshift raft. If we flip this thing over and caulk up those doors real good.
We'll be in Florida in no time.
It'll be seaworthy. All right. Let's see. We have Michael Ironside here from all those great movies and more coming in a second. I was just looking at his IMDb this morning. He's literally not stopped working for 40 years.
I wonder what his longest stretch is between projects. Because you're right. The guy feels like it's worked consistently for 40
years. I got to
the
bottom. I think it was like 1980, 1981, and it just said like guy at bar. And then it just said, I guess this is what they do at the beginning where they just go, just whatever your name is, make it that you're at the bar. Your name Mike? Go ahead, make your name Mike. Because they don't do that with George Clooney. We'll just make your name George. It's going to bump everybody. But if it's your first movie and you're 22, then there you go. All right. Why don't we get Michael Prep to come in? I'll tell you about Dos Equis. Yeah, we love ourselves some Dos Equis. It's college football season. Remember, a little exaggeration makes every story more interesante. I think I said that right.
Perfect.
Thank you. Like Dos Equis, the only beer Steve Spurrier stopped for every time the crowd carried him off the field shouting, take me away. That Dos Equis isn't going to drink itself. But most importantly, remember, keep it interesante this college football season with Dos Equis, the official beer sponsor of college football playoffs. We love some beers. We love some football. It's the best. It starts cooling off outside. The leaves start changing colors. You get a cold Dos Equis in your hand. You watch some college football. Drink Dos Equis responsibly. 2018 imported by Cervezas Mexicanas. White Plains, New York. That is Dos Equis. Michael, good to see you again, my friend.
Good to be here.
Congratulations on a life well led.
So far,
what is the longest
in my bedroom or something?
You know how your mattress has memory foam? We've been talking.
Oh, really?
Yeah, me and your mattress, and it remembers everything.
Truck. It's in a moving truck right now. We're moving after 32 years.
Where are you going?
We're not sure yet. We're really not. We're putting it all in pods somewhere, and we'll make a decision. I got a job I'm going to be doing in the fall and into the spring that might take 3-4 months. So there's not much sense moving into a house and not living in it.
Nice. You got an acting role?
Yeah.
Wow.
Red Letter Day. Champagne, you see?
I heard you say I've been acting since 1980 or 81.
Well, actually, that got to the bottom of your IMDb.
Yeah, it's actually 72.
Wow.
Yeah.
Brian's question is what has been the longest layoff that you can remember in that 40 some odd years?
Damn, I can't tell you. Probably 2-3 months at the moment.
Wow.
Just from one thing to the next.
It's fuck, I'm an actor. You act. You know what I mean? If you get an opportunity. Yeah. I mean, otherwise you're just a normal person walking around, you know.
Right, but I'm going to go
smoking, but
I'm going to go to Hamburger Hamlet later on today and the guy's going to go, "Fuck, I'm a waiter. You act."
No, I started off as a writer director and I'm very well trained as an actor. I took acting lessons, dealt my writing and directing and ended up an actor.
But, here's a question then. How much?
You look good, man. You look good.
Oh, thank you. It's my glasses. You too. How much of this, you may not know, but obviously you're an accomplished actor and people want you in the film. But if you're an asshole or dick to work with or trouble or temperamental or tough.
Mm-hmm. High maintenance.
I don't think you'd just go from film to film, right? Because eventually somebody can just play that role.
I think in my case, I get mistaken for the characters they play. I'm basically a pacifist. I like golf and gardening, you know, that sort of thing. And my story has always been, if you hit an old lady with a shovel and they make money off it, they don't want you to do anything else. You know, the old lady may become Meryl Streep. The shovel may become a Buick, you know. So I'll do one or two jobs a year to affect my distribution. And then I wander off all over the world doing these projects that I want to do, that I want to be a part of. And it's a pretty good life.
So you lived out here in L.A. for 30-some-odd years?
I've been here since 1979.
And in the same place?
We moved into our house in... Here, there's my Canadian accent.
Yeah, you heard it?
That's cool. We moved in, I think, 1984.
And for the first time...
84, 85, yeah.
In 24 years, I guess.
31 years we've been in this house.
31 years. For the first time, you're packed... Oh, yeah, right. Need another 10 there. For the first time, you're packing it up and you're going,
We don't know yet.
Staying in L.A.?
We don't know. As long as I'm within an hour of an international airport, I'm fine.
Yeah.
The kids are gone. You know, my oldest daughter's in Nashville producing films. Our youngest is up in Montreal going to Concordia. She's been to two universities. She's finally settling into what she wants to do. She'll be 20 next month. It's a big house. My wife called me on the cell phone from the TV room, and I was in the bedroom. And that was like,
yeah,
that's kind of nuts. You know, it's time to get smaller and possibly a little bit more mobile.
You think you're going the Airstream route for a while?
No.
I was hoping it would be like across
America. I've spent too much time in them as dressing rooms.
That's true. Yeah.
I was looking at your name, and I just had this thought. There was Iron Mike Ditka, and then turned into Iron Mike Tyson. But you... Or Mike with a real iron in your name. Do you ever get the Iron Mike?
No, I've never really gotten any of that. No. It's actually a Welsh name. It was originally Id and Sid, which means near and far in Welsh Gaelic. And when it changed over to the Arabic alphabet, Edmund Id and Sid didn't know how to spell, and he thought Ironside sounded stronger.
It does.
Because he was Edmund, who was near the coast and far from John. And he was killed by his son, by the way. His 18-year-old son killed him when he was 36 or 37.
I feel like there was a lot more of that in the past.
Yeah.
Patricide.
Yeah.
Oedipal.
Yeah. Lots of...
And impatience, possibly, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I kind of miss that. Yeah. I don't want to romanticize it, but I was... You know, it's funny. I was
Do you have children?
Yeah, I do. I don't think the boy would make a move on me, but the girl... You know, I keep a golf club under the bed in case she comes home late.
I got
you know. It was funny. I was talking to a guy who's writing a book on Mr. Skin today.
So let's come to this.
I get to do the...
Mr. Skin, yeah, what's that?
Oh, come on.
Google it.
You're featured prominently.
it's a website that
aggregator.
Just shows pictures of women in movies where they were topless or bottomless or whatever. It takes all the stuff you used to have to sift through back in the day to get to the one good part. It just shows the one good part. And he said, I don't know why this reminded me of this, but he said, you know, but what do you think with all the Me Too movement stuff? Like, how's Mr. Skin going to go over this website that just finds naked side boob pictures or nip slip pictures of Terry Hatcher in a movie and puts it up on their website. Is it, how's it going to be for them? And I said, I think we'll think of Mr. Skin like I think of pickpockets now, like quaint.
Yeah, charming.
You know what I mean? Like when you turn on the news and it'll be like, this guy was lighting homeless people on fire for no reason. You go, oh, Jesus Christ, what does it come to? If you heard a pickpocket story.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, you'd picture like Dick Van Dyke in a chimney sweeps outfit.
Pocket watch.
Yeah. Right, right. And so I actually think of... I think of Mr. Skin like I think of Playboy. Like it's yeah. it's almost quaint at this point. I don't know what got me to that place.
You're being interviewed for
that's scary. That whole train of thought is very frightening. Let's get around to talking about Knuckleball because that's
let's talk about Knuckleball.
No, seriously, because
right.
that's what we're doing with the film. And so the idea of we've never been in a universe where there's more forms of communication. Mm. You know, whether it's iPads or Twitter. Somebody should not be allowed to use that sometimes. You know, internet, telephones, and so little is being said, and so little is being said with sincerity and connection. And you can't trust half the communications you get. And it's about the lack of communications within families, like you were talking about, parenticide and stuff like that. It's like the whole film's based on the idea that nobody, any one of the characters of the family, has an idea what the other one feels or thinks or how they will react to something.
It's got some Fargo meets Home Alone meets A Simple Plan. I'm
that's not bad. Fargo meets Home Alone. Home Alone's a joke. This has some Fargo in it. It starts off way above the frozen prairies. The camera drops into a BMW driving across the wasteland where a couple's trying to get a holiday by going to a funeral. And they're dropping their kid off at the grandfather's. You know, and the cell phone dies. The kid's cell phone dies within the first 15 minutes of the film. And it's just what happens to him while he's there.
I just watched a trailer moments ago. I think Brian
saw the film,
so he could weigh in on it. And he's a film expert
indeed.
As well. I'm also thinking about the movie with Kathy Bates and James
Caan. It's got a little misery to it.
It
definitely gets so the thing I liked about it personally, and this will not relate to everyone, but my grandparents, my entire dad's side of the family is from Canada, mm-hmm. British Columbia area, actually all over. And like Michael said, they open the film, the two parents drop their kid off so they can get away to a funeral, right? And the kid, they drop him off with the grandpa, and he lives kind of in a remote, I would call it a cabin, but he's out in the wilderness.
It's a farmhouse.
Yeah, it's a farmhouse.
Michael's
exactly.
the grandpa, by the
exactly.
way.
Exactly. And again, and the young, you know, 13-year-old, whoever he is, 14, lives with the grandpa for a few days. And it reminded me so much of my own experience. My grandparents retired to Tahoe, right? And my grandparents' house was full of stuff that was old and kind of scary. And they, you know, it was in the snow all the time. And this film's in the snow. You know, there's constantly snowing in this film. There's a blizzard coming through. And it reminded me a lot of that whole thing where it's like, yeah, your grandparents' house is kind of scary sometimes.
But it's about isolation. Stuff. I mean, it starts off in the first 5 minutes of the film, you get a metaphor. Mm-hmm. You have a father who's talking and nobody's listening in the car. You have a mother who has anxiety over mm-hmm. something. She's taking medication. And you have a kid in the back who's playing.
He's got the headphones on.
He's got headphones on. He's playing a video game on his camera and trying to get a conversation with his kid, with his parents. And he's the one that says, turn off. No, turn off. You're going to miss it. Mm-hmm. And they turn off. And the whole film's about how much time we spend together, but we don't really communicate with each other.
Do we – I know your wife called you from the living room. I had this last night. I have it a lot. And you guys tell me what etiquette should be. Mm-hmm. I was found myself last evening. I was in my bedroom. I was laying on top of the bed. My wife's on top of the bed. The dog's on top of the bed. We start talking about something. And at a certain point, I noticed her sort of fidgeting with her phone. And then as tactfully as I can, I go, I'll just come back when you're done with what you're doing.
I and do then that all the
person
time.
Always
do
gets I? A little defensive. Like, hey, I was
yes,
just answering
do.
A text. You know, and I go, I'm not... It's not a judgment call.
What was the conversation we had? Did it have an emotional base? Did it have an intimate base to it?
Yeah. I was talking about wanting to swing.
But people have a tendency to disappear to their phones. When they don't know how to handle a situation, they don't know what to do or how to feel, how to appropriately respond to something, they will disappear into their phone.
That's interesting. And it wasn't charged emotionally or anything. I just realize that people have it. It's on them. It's a screen that's illuminated almost instinctually. They can't stop looking at it.
But it disappears too also. It becomes a companion that will always be there in a very specific way for you.
Well, and also people overestimate their ability to listen and to multitask. I mean, that's why there's car accidents. People are like, well, I can go ahead and finish this text and go along the 101.
Yeah, but you're missing life. I mean, a couple of months ago, well, more than a month, it was last fall, I think. I come out in front of, we live in the Hollywood Hills. We've been up there 32 years, you know, and I come out and I'm standing in front of the house and I look up and there's this huge Arctic owl. I mean, a 3.5 foot huge white Arctic owl sitting on a pole across from our house. And we live on this hill and I went, holy. I mean, I've only seen pictures of these things, you know, they're right. Very dignified. And there was these women coming up the hill. They use our hill to walk and stuff like that in the neighborhood. And they were talking to me and they're on their cell phones and stuff. And I was going to say, look. And I thought, fuck you. I don't want you to look at it. I mean, you wouldn't know what I was doing. I mean, the whole world is spending its time looking here when it should be here or here.
I agree. And I believe that people need to. Somebody just shot me this tweet. But I just said sort of nicely, like, I will let you finish with what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And then I'll come back and we'll finish our conversation. She was nice about it. People overestimate their ability to do. People think they can answer text and hear the conversation.
Or she didn't know how to articulate or how to emotionally resolve what she was feeling at that moment. I've caught myself doing it. I've caught myself when something heavy's going on, I'm looking for a way to not feel, not to be able to have to address that, you know? And
well, I'm wondering, and I think we're now at the point where people need to trick themselves, for lack of a better phrase, into being places that just don't have this available. It's not going to work that you just need to go, I'm going for a walk and I get no phone reception and I'm leaving my phone at home and that's it. Or I'm going to go out the garage and build a hummingbird feeder and I'm just going to put things together. Like I always feel like the answer is something tangible and physical.
I had to go last night for this meeting I was going to, and I realized I'd left my phone and my reading glasses on my desk. And it was a panic. There was that sense of panic. I was going down the hill. And by the time I hit Laurel Canyon, I went, this is kind of cool.
Like, yeah.
I don't feel obligated to have to return something. Nobody can get at me.
You can't see a thing.
You know what I mean? It's like,
ran over a pedestrian who was jogging.
No, there's I don't have my phone with me. I'm disconnected. I'm absolutely free.
It's, I recommend whatever you can do to get yourself out of that place. I just got back from doing a car race, and I always, first thing I say is, I'm a guy who can't shut his brain off for 10 seconds, and from the whole time I'm in that car and in that race, I have no idea what I'm thinking about. I'm only thinking about what I'm doing.
You're focused.
Never, nothing. There's no other thoughts that pass in a brain where everything passes through all the time, no matter what. No.
That's
other
one
thoughts.
Of the things that happen with me when I'm acting. When they say action, the pain in my shoulder goes away. The whole thing, there's an immediacy. Somebody once said to me, I think it was my dad, said, the past is a memory, therefore it's speculation based on a mental process. The future is speculation based on a memory. So it's not real either. The only thing you really have is being in the moment. If you can stay in the moment, you're organically connected. You are absolutely in time is forever. And when you're driving, you have to be in the moment. Especially, I've seen some of the cars you got out there, you know, stuff like that. And I feel the same way with acting. I feel the same way. It works best when I'm absolutely in the moment.
Knuckleball is the name of the movie. Premieres on Friday, October 5th. That's tomorrow as you hear this in select theaters. It's available on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, and YouTube.
It's a solid thriller. It's a slow burn.
It's a good film. Do you know the thing that shocked me about this film? Very rarely I'll go out with films, and I've done a lot. We went to film festivals with this. And the audience stayed after the screenings for the Q&A. Most of the films, they get up, half of them get up and leave. People that were 76 and 17 stayed. Young girls would say, that's not what I expected. Or an older person would say, you know, I remember, and it touched. And the message of the idea of learning how to communicate and be in the moment with somebody. under the guise of all the other things that are going on in the film. But it seems to touch people. It's more than just a peach and a beer film. It sort of carries with people for a couple of days afterwards.
You famously, I guess, collect some artifacts, mementos, and things like that from films that you do.
What I do is I take things that they're going to throw away or take things that are personal to me. I'll hold on to them for a while. And I've been sober 35 years. So what I do is I put them up for these rehab centers and stuff. And when they get some value to them, I'll give them to these places so they can auction them off and get money to support those things.
That's great.
Anything from Top Gun, Starship Troopers, Total Recall, scanners?
Yeah, I've got still got some stuff. I actually found some hats that while we were packing for this. We've been in this house, like I said, 32 years. I found some hats and Starship Troopers.
That's awesome.
I've still got the swords from Highlander. The jacket, for example, that flight jacket of mine from Top Gun, got $7,700 for a rehab center in the desert years ago. You know.
Well, that is noble of you. And
I don't know if it's noble.
It's
practical. It's practical, and it kind of buys your sins away too. You know.
Well, maybe noble is like calling everyone a hero who basically calls 911 when someone's having a heart attack or something. But
I don't know if you want to go that far.
It's
over.
Still,
stay closer to the noble.
Noble,
you know, yeah.
It's semi-noble.
Okay, semi-noble.
It's a noble. So, what we're going to do? We've done this before. We do the Hollywood hand-me-downs, this is actual stuff. Yeah, it's stuff that's sold. It's memorabilia.
I got to buy something.
I was sitting around at the racetrack last weekend, and some guy gave me a business card, and he was like, "I'm offering Paul Newman's fire suit, his racing suit
that I'm wearing it right now.
He wore at Le Mans when he was driving your car at Le Mans." And for a cool $750,000, you can have a fire suit that doesn't fit you.
A bargain at any price.
Yeah, so it's a big deal. People, the stuff's going up. People are selling this stuff. Janis Joplin had a Porsche sell for like $8 million and stuff. It's all a game. And there's a market for it now. And so this is past auctions.
Stuff that has sold. We have definitive numbers on this.
And we're going to try to put a number on it. I feel like Michael pretty good at this. All right.
This is U.S. Is U.S. or Canadian?
You don't have to put a number, and you're picking the most valuable. We're giving you three choices. All you have to do is just pick what you think is the
just
most
valuable.
Sold for the
all right,
most.
But I think we should try to put a number on it anyway. It'll be fun.
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
All right, our first round starts with Peter Ostrom's Charlie Bucket Golden Ticket from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Leonardo DiCaprio's Jack Dawson screen hero costume. From Titanic. And Jerry Seinfeld's iconic puffy pirate t-shirt. From Seinfeld.
Three gold.
Which is the most expensive?
What was the first one?
The golden ticket from Willy Wonka.
Okay.
Wow.
Do we want to write it down? Do we want to think about it out loud? Let's put a number to it, too, as well as your guess. Once you lock it in, we'll do it.
Here's a piece of paper.
All right.
Just one object? I don't have to price all three of them.
No, just pick your winner. Give us your reason. Give us your number. And then Dawson will do it. So this is the hero one. They probably had multiple versions of this. He was wet. He was underwater. So whatever. But this is...
That's the hero shot they're probably referencing. Like the king of the world, you know, when you...
Yeah, but also what they're saying is, I've figured out from doing a bunch of this, some of this stuff, which is if you're going to go shoot this movie, you have 15 pairs of those pants, 15 vests, and 15 shirts because you're going to wear them in a hallway covered with water. Mm-hmm. And then at some point, this is the clean version, the nice version, the good version.
Yep. I just did research on the Freddy Krueger glove, the original Freddy Krueger glove, and there was a couple of them. One was the hero glove that was for close ups and all that stuff.
Right.
You know, he designed that himself.
Yes, he did.
I did not know that. Oh, right.
We were doing V when that show, when he wanted, came back from doing it. He said, "I just did this movie. Nobody's ever going to know I did it. It was great. I got money and I got to design everything myself. This glove with these knives on it and this hat." He says, "It's fantastic. It's like they're giving away money." And he got stuck in it for the rest of his life.
All right. Yeah. It's like falling into a big pit of money and you can never climb out.
Poor schmuck.
You drown in currency.
Like Scrooge McDuck.
Yep.
All right. Would you like to go first, Michael?
I got Leo's suit for $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
If it's the on-camera suit, the one he gets wet in.
All right, Gina.
Nostalgically, I want it to be that golden ticket, but I just don't see that being the most expensive. I also went with the Titanic suit, and I said $18,000.
This stuff sold last year, yes, Max Banner?
Yes, 2017.
Brian, what do you got?
Exact same thought as Gina. I would love for it to be the golden ticket. That's what I'd want. Mm-hmm. But Titanic is the highest grossing movie of all time prior to Avatar, and Leonardo DiCaprio is an A-list international all-time star. I said $25,000.
Yeah, the Seinfeld shirt is sort of a novelty, and they don't give any respect to comedians or sitcoms or any of that kind of stuff. So that's out. Golden ticket, a good fun, but this is that's a piece of paper. There's a full ensemble, and I agree. Highest grossing. I went high. I went $75,000.
Oh, damn.
The Jack Dawson hero costume is the winner, but it's sold for $160,000.
We weren't even close when you said 75.
That was
amazing. Yeah, right. I mean, my God, that wouldn't even be the house's fee.
Yeah, shipload closer than you, though. But anyway.
That's what I'm saying. The rest of us weren't even close.
Actually, I cheated. After they did their low numbers, I had $250,000 written down. I said $25,000.
What did you learn, Brian?
I learned
what did you learn about cheating?
Cheaters never prosper. I would have been closer than $25,000.
Yeah, this stuff is going. Actually, no. There is no world where this stuff's $10,000 or $15,000 anymore. It's all. Wow. It's all up.
I knew
now.
It would be big.
What do we have the price on the golden ticket?
Golden ticket went for $75,000.
Wow. That's what I was thinking.
And the puffy shirt from Seinfeld went for $45,000.
Okay, we've all learned something today.
All right, now we have a base.
All right,
because I'm telling you, this is a newer phenomenon. This stuff didn't happen
in the
past.
When we were packing the other day, I found the last leather jacket from Total Recall that character wore. It was the camera jacket, you know, and my nephew wanted it. I remember he said, if you ever find it, can I have it because he's narrow and he's young and stuff like that.
You got $80,000 laying around? Come on.
I never thought of that. That could probably raise some money somewhere.
Yes.
Oh, hell yeah.
There's another rehab.
All right. Next item.
Next up, we got Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man costume with the muscle undershirt.
Now, wait a minute. We didn't really work this out, but we all made the same guess.
Yeah, so do you want an extra point for being closest?
Nah. Yeah. Well, I think we should, because I think we are going to do this is going to happen again, or it may happen again. I think if you were to we should do a stepping closest, second closest, whatever. It's going to make the math weird, but if we're all just going to pick the same item.
I like it. Here we go.
Thank you.
So the Spider-Man costume with the muscle undershirt from Spider-Man.
And that's the one we're looking at that sold.
The Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
Okay.
The Norma Shearer Marie Antoinette screen-worn dress. And Marlon Brando's Vito Corleone wool coat from the assassination sequence in The Godfather.
Shit. Mm. It's getting those oranges.
All right. So the Spider-Man is from which one? The first one?
It's actually from the third one. That's Spider-Man 3.
Sad third movie that no one saw.
It looks sad. That costume's sad.
That's not even I don't want to give anything away, but that's not even the iconic Spider-Man costume.
All right. It's the black one instead of the red one? Is that what's going on? What's the Marie Antoinette one? I didn't see that. What's going on?
What year? Is that what you want
to
know? Yeah.
I don't know a lot about it, man. That's classic Hollywood.
Do we know Max Bat? You got to give us a year or who wore it or whatever. Like it needs something because I don't think we have any reference point.
I'm looking right now.
All right,
Michael says 49.
Figure it out in advance, next time. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, if it's a movie that we don't know, then we need to kind of know who directed or what it was or what the deal was. Okay.
1938.
Okay.
Wow. Decade before me.
All right. Now you got Brando, but that's the one he wore when he was shot. But was he wearing it throughout? And then you got Spider-Man. And then you also have to think about, like, who has the money. Now, I'd get the dress.
What do you mean, who has the money?
Well, you think about, you take, like, the car collecting world.
Oh.
In the car collecting world, you'll see cars that aren't valuable and tell the guys who remember them from their sort of childhood get to like 50.
Okay.
And then those guys got successful and they go, when I was a kid, I always wanted one of those. And then they pay a bunch of money to sort of make their life whole again. Right. So there's a kind of like, you know, I don't want to tip my hand, but comic book guys spend money on stuff. Right. I don't know about Marie Antoinette fans.
Sure. A Transformers tchotchke wouldn't have been valuable until, say, the tech boom, and those people came of age, you know what I mean, with their children, and then became
Once Seth MacFarlane gets a couple billion dollars burning a hole in his pocket, then he buys the car from Back to the Future.
Okay. That makes sense.
All right. Okay. Everyone locked in? Yeah.
Indeed.
There's a bitch. Okay.
I'm a low man on the totem pole. I'll go first. Brando's coat, $100,000.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. See, I was thinking the same thing, but then I thought if they really wanted to go full Godfather, it would be his tuxedo or something more iconic than the coat. Mm. I'm going Antoinette at $68,000.
Wow.
Brian?
I haven't written down this time. Brando's coat. The same reasoning as the Titanic thing. Considered to be one of the two or three greatest movies of all time. One of the biggest iconic stars of all time, bar none. So I want $70,000 for C. The last one. Yeah.
I want Spider-Man outfit just what? Because nerds. I don't know. Comic-Con. Just nerds and Comic-Con. I mean, they'll buy comic books for $100,000.
All right.
And I put $80,000 because I have no idea.
Everybody was wrong except for the man who's always right. The Spider-Man costume with the muscled undershirt went for $42,500.
Oy vey. Wow. I really thought the when you said who buys this stuff, I thought people who are into super classic Hollywood.
Yeah.
They're still around and they have an income. That was my thinking.
Yeah, it's a weird group, but it has to be that group. Like Jimi Hendrix guitars not going to sell for a lot when there's a bunch of 19-year-olds that are into Jimi Hendrix, but when those guys turn 57 and sold their first business, they will buy Jimi Hendrix guitar. All right.
Well, I'm shocked.
Moving forward.
What was the other values, by the way?
The Marie Antoinette screen dress was $35,000, and Brando's coat went for $30,000.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Next round. Would you like another piece of paper, Michael?
No, I just folded it over.
We got Bruce Willis's John McClane Beretta from Die Hard.
Oh, his pistol. Okay.
The Shining, Jack Nicholson's Jack Torrance stunt axe.
Sweet.
Or Ralph Macchio's Daniel LaRusso signature headband from
The
Karate Kid.
Just hand them all over.
Give me any of those.
What I'd do is I'd buy the axe and then take the rest of the shit. Like, I'd just start swinging that shit around.
Right.
Somebody gave me the rest of the stuff. I'll take those ruby slippers too, bitch. Now, you say stunt axe, Jack. What was the axe thing?
I guess it's the one that he chopped.
Yeah, I know
he
chopped
through
the door, but you called it a stunt axe.
I guess you couldn't chop wood with it. Like a log.
Right.
I'd imagine that stunt
and the name. The name was what? He said the name.
Of the axe?
Oh, Jack Torrance.
That's the character.
Stunt axe.
His name is Jack Torrance. Yeah, I didn't know his name was Jack Torrance.
This
is
a prop. I don't know how to play.
Makes Jack a dull boy.
Oh, makes Jack a dull boy. That's right.
A prop stunt axe constructed of a skinned rigid polyfoam long handle and a wedged axe head with a back pick.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
By the way, that's going to be one of those items, if you do buy it, and whoever did buy it, shows it to someone, they'll have the same reaction that Jimmy Kimmel had when the actual Batmobile pulled onto the lot when we were shooting the Man Show, which is, that's not the Batmobile. That's a piece of shit. Like, you hand somebody that foam-covered thing, they're going to go, no,
that's not the...
Right. All right. Now, the gun has value in and of itself. The axe and the scarf, the headband, have no value.
Doesn't your forehead get sweaty?
Right. And I can throw $3 at that problem and fix it.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. So you have to factor that. I don't know what a Beretta sets you back, but it's got to be a few $100. There's a little value to it.
Right.
Wow. This one's tough.
Okay. This is one of those where none of them would surprise me if they were number one.
Okay. Everyone locked in?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Michael, how say
Willis's
you?
Willis's Beretta, $20,000.
Ooh. That's
good.
Interesting.
Gina?
I personally think these are all going to be on the low side value-wise, and I'm going with your Seth MacFarlane buys the DeLorean theory and saying the bandana for $9,000.
Wow. Interesting, Brian.
I'm going off the board. I said the axe, just because it's so iconic as an actual film prop, $15K.
I went with the axe as well, and I went high just because of, I love that film, and I've seen that. So here's Johnny.
It's iconic,
and I
look
so
iconic. Alone.
I went 60K on the axe.
Well, everybody was really close, but there's only one correct answer on this one, and it belongs to Michael Ironside. The Bruce Willis Beretta went for the most money, and here's where scoring is going to get a little complicated. It went for 20 grand.
Wow. Wow. Get an extra 10 points.
That's minus five. So he's a negative
what?
Two.
I've had
it. I bought it for my nephew.
Yeah, I bought it for my nephew.
How much were the other items?
The axe went for 12,000. Brian was close. Ooh. 15. And the Daniel LaRusso headband went for $16,000.
Good wow. for him. Good for Ralph.
He doesn't see that money.
The headband outsold the axe.
I'm shocked.
Wow.
But that's I had a feeling. Yeah.
That's why you have to play the game.
You really like The Shining, huh?
I love that goddamn
that's
movie.
It's a good film. I really enjoy that.
I know.
But a slow burn.
I love the it slow burn
absolute,
part.
It was absolutely a failure at the box office.
I could have that axe for $12K. Goddamn.
Well, you have to buy it off the new guy. All right, let's do one more. See how we figure this out.
Okay, Rick Moranis's hero, Dark Helmet.
Yes!
Helmet from Spaceballs. Arnold Schwarzenegger's Mr. Freeze costume and stunt rubber signature gun from Batman and Robin. Or the Iron Man Mark III helmet mask from Iron Man.
I am your father's, brother's, nephew's, cousin's former roommate.
Wow.
All right. Now, sorry, the Iron Man mask was from the first Iron Man?
It says from Iron Man.
Okay.
All right.
But the mask says it's Iron Man Mark III helmet.
I wonder if, remember he made the first one in the cave?
Right.
And there was a second version? I wonder if it was like the third.
So the first.
Sounds about right.
The first movie.
Yogurt! Yogurt! I hate yogurt!
We know how Brian's going to vote.
I didn't see Iron Man. Is that from Iron Man? Okay. So Mr. Freeze.
You and I saw Iron Man together.
There's a lot of moving parts here. A lot of stuff going on. You know, you get a lot of bang for your buck, pardon the pun. Sure. You know what I mean? Like, there's an element. I think the Beretta thing is like, that's got some heft to it. The other thing's made of styrofoam, and that's gonna help.
A lot of nerd stuff.
Mm-hmm.
For every generation.
Okay. Damn it.
Yeah, but I feel like you can buy that mask on Hollywood Boulevard for $5.
True.
Yeah, but it doesn't have Downey's DNA.
I don't know.
Okay. All right. You locked in? What do you got, Michael?
Rick Moranis' helmet for 15 grand.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. I don't feel like comedies have same. I look at the same as memorabilia as I do with the Oscars. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's great comedies and they just get no recognition when it comes time to hand out the Oscars. But that's my comedy take. Maybe it's just me in comedy.
Well, I my first thought was, well, it's got to be Iron Man. Everybody loves Iron Man, Iron Man, Iron Man. But my heart, my soul agrees with Michael. It has to be that giant helmet. I said 20K.
Dead is your Sub-Zero. Wow. A lot of stuff going on with the Schwarzenegger stuff. But,
and I see your Schwartz is as big as mine.
Brian, how say you?
I wanted so bad to go with my heart and go with Dark Helmet, but then I realized some dad out there, I'll just say dad, really wants to impress his estranged child and went with Iron Man mask at 16K.
I went with Iron Man mask too, based on my sort of nerd and money, and I went at a higher number, 43K.
Nobody got it.
Oh, what?
Mr. Freeze, Ace, you should have gone with your original intent. That went for $60,000.
Oh,
Dark Helmet went for $32,500, and the Iron Man helmet went for $28K.
What's the matter, Colonel Sanders? Chicken?
Wow.
Smoke if you got him.
All right. See if anyone could figure out a winner, or I'll just call Michael the winner because he got the Beretta.
You and Michael are tied.
Well, why don't we take a 5-minute break?
Well, why don't we do a little tiebreaker, Michael, if you're up to it?
The final round.
Titans.
no reason for the losers to chime in on this one. All right, let me tell you quickly while we line up our next two items about Castrol Edge. Heat, friction, viscosity breakdown rob your engine of maximum performance. Friction results in loss of performance up to 10%. Castrol Edge, engineered with fluid titanium technology, physically transforms to get stronger under pressure, helps fight friction and deliver maximum levels of performance for your car. Three times stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading oils. Castrol Edge, unlock the performance in your car's engine. All right, Knuckleball coming out Friday, October 5th in select theaters. And it's also available on all the platforms now, iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, and YouTube. Let's play a tiebreaker, Michael.
You got it. Our two items are the illuminating dance floor from Saturday Night Fever.
Ooh.
Or Luke Skywalker's lightsaber from Star Wars.
Oh, come on. Yeah.
Mm.
And The Empire Strikes Back.
Mm.
All right, gentlemen.
Mm.
You're a flooring guy.
I am a flooring.
Show an advantage.
A distinct advantage because I know the difference between a notch trowel and a smooth trowel.
We're all counting on you.
Terrazzo tile knowledge should really come in handy.
Finally, a payday. All right. I.
There's a tonnage argument to be made here.
Yeah.
One's about 5 pounds and the other's a floor.
Well, there's one, one thing is going to be kept in a Lucite case next to Mickey Mantle's, baseball mitt, and the other you could actually put out and kind of have fun with, enjoy.
I was going to say, in terms of actually working, one's going to do the thing that it does in the movie, and the other is going to, you're going to make sounds for.
Wait, what?
Right.
That's right.
Right. All right. So.
I have to follow you around all the time with this.
I think we're there with lightsaber, but now the question is how much? I mean, God, this thing could go for a lot. This sold last year, and it's the original.
They sold
item
the floor?
From
they
the,
sold that dance floor?
They sold the floor. And it's from both movies. Yes?
Wow, that's crazy.
Okay.
It's from the first two.
Yeah, sorry, the first two is what I meant. All right, but the price.
It's the hero lightsaber.
Yeah, so there's multiple ones. Okay, Michael Ironside, what do you got?
I've got the lightsaber at $150,000.
I went lightsaber $325.
All right.
You're both incorrect.
Oh!
However, we can declare a winner. The illuminating dance floor went for $1 million.
That's
the
oil.
Lightsaber.
That's oil money.
That's awesome.
Went for $375,000.
Wow.
Ace Man, you are the winner.
Wow.
Back to new victory.
Someone had to have that floor. That could have been some drunken bidding. That could have been some oil money. That could have been my wife is nuts for this movie, and I got more money than God. But there you go, man. I don't know. It's a strangely compelling game.
Yeah, satisfying.
Michael, were you strangely compelled?
I enjoyed that.
Do you feel like you got some items at home now where you go, hey, man, maybe I ought to take a few of these things and get them out of the Ziploc bags and put them in the house? Or
no, I don't really hold on to things for any kind of emotional value. I really do hold on to them for.
But what about your nephew and that jacket?
I probably am going to sell that jacket and give it to a rehab somewhere.
Right. Smart. Screw man. That kid.
Yeah.
He hasn't earned
much a kid. He's a man now,
Screw that man.
He'll just spill beer all over it.
It's weird. It
ironic.
That sounds gay when you say screw that man.
Yeah, screw that man.
But kid is actually probably worse. I was like, I thought about it.
And it's, infanticide within a family. So, but. It doesn't fit him anyway.
And do you feel like you're on set 8 months out of the year?
Yeah, six.
Six.
Yeah.
Where's most of the shooting going on? I feel like used to be L.A., then it went to Canada, then it went to Atlanta, then it went to one of the Carolinas. Then
we did Alienation in Budapest.
Then there's the whole Prague, Budapest thing,
that's
right?
Incredible city and stuff like that. And it was a great gig. So I get to work 3 days a week, and then we bugger off to Vienna or something like that for a couple of days, and then come back, my wife and I.
What a life.
Mm-hmm. I like I like traveling. There's only one country I haven't been to on film, and that's India. I wrote a script about India 40 years ago. I may have to do it next year.
It's your only way there.
Well, it's India was like a romantic place when I grew up. Gunga Din was a film that my family watched. I read all the Kipling books, and there was a dignity about it. And this, I wrote it about the Indian Rebellion, in I think it was 1786 or something like that. I may have to go do it. It's been financed twice. I've pulled out twice, but. The India that I grew up with and I want to hold in my head is not there anymore, you know, so I've avoided that.
I have a special affection for Hungary because my grandfather's Hungarian and I never been there.
I've worked there, yeah.
How's the food? Do you eat the food?
It depends on what time of year you get there.
Can't get any Hungarian food out there in LA.
If you get there in the late fall and stuff when the harvest is around, it's great. By February, March, things get pretty thin.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Circle that on the calendar.
Live show.
Live show.
Fall.
All right. Let me tell you about MedMen, today's cannabis consumers everywhere, everyone. Let's drop the labels at MedMen. You're an executive, you're a parent, you're a customer. Something for everyone, whether you're new to the cannabis world or familiar with things like flower, lotion, edibles, vape pens, bath bombs, and more. Touchscreens that allow you to view in-depth product info. And red-shirted staff that's incredibly knowledgeable puts you at ease. You check out one of their 14 locations in L.A., Orange County, San Diego, and opening this Friday. That's coincidentally along with Knuckleball over here. This Friday, October 5th, a new store in Las Vegas on the Strip at Paradise and Harmon. Where's Paradise? I know where Paradise is. I'm trying to think where Harmon is. Anyway, you'll find it. It's on the Strip.
The locals
will know. Visit MedMen.com. Find the store nearest you. It's MedMen, right, Dawson?
And for our listeners, visit any MedMen and mention Adam Carolla at checkout for $10 off your order. Keep out of reach of children for use only by adults 21 years of age and older. Check out MedMen today.
So, Michael Ironside, nice playing with you. Nice seeing you. Knuckleball comes out on Friday the 5th, and it's in theaters and select theaters, and then also iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, and all that. We highly recommend it. Good to see you, my friend.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Good luck, whichever way the wind blows.
Can I ask you something about that Aston Martin that's sitting out there?
Yes.
When you bought it, was it a disappointment the first time you drove it, or was it, do you know what I mean? Because that's one of my favorite cars.
You like a DB9.
DB6 actually is what I like.
I like DB6. All the Aston Martins are great.
But do you know what I'm saying? When you got in, you actually were alone and you took it out for the first time and stuff. Was it satisfying? Was it up to your expectations?
Well, nothing is ever really that. I mean, nothing in that's made of steel and leather ever really does it as well as there's something. All the satisfaction in life is you finish a hot dog, you crumple up the foil, you yell to everyone who's around you, check it out, you throw it at a trash can that's 22 feet away, and it's just nothing but net. And the feeling you get from that, for some reason, is better than the Aston Martin, because that's how we're wired. Now, we think it's all about the Aston Martin, but it's really those stupid things or those subtle things.
So the desire for
things.
Something is sometimes more powerful and more desire. It's more fulfilling than the actual attainment.
I think it is, because you start going into, I don't want to scratch it mode, and where do I park it mode, and, you know, blah, blah, blah mode. But the thing that is funny about that Aston Martin is I knew a guy, Bo Bachman, over at Galpin Ford, before those things came out. Uh-huh. And he called me and he said, hey, somebody dropped off the Aston Martin list. There was a list, people sign up to get them. He said, you want to get on the list? I said, okay. It was, you know, $165,000 car. I said, I don't know. My radio contract's up in 4 months or whatever. I'm not sure what my employment's like. Might be having a couple kids. So if I sign up, do I have to buy the car, you know, when it comes in 6 months or 8 months? And he said, no, just sign up, order a car. The car comes in. If you want to pick it up, like if you got the money, come get it. If you don't, we'll sell it the next day. Like that's how popular these cars were. So I went over there and you go into a room, you go into a showroom and they have all the swatches of leather and the stitching and the wood panel. You want the burled walnut or you want the teak or whatever it is. They even have the curved little paint swatch of the metal, the curve, so you can see how the light hits it and everything. And I said, okay, I want to go with a black interior and an Aston Martin Racing Green. It's a great color on that car, Aston Martin Racing Green. And I said, okay. And I started walking out of the place. And I said, yeah, I'll come back in 6 months, pick it up. And I passed by a guy, and he had a little cubicle, and on his computer desk, the computer screensaver, was a 50s Jag in British Racing Green with a blood red interior. And I said, that's what I want. And I walked back up to the showroom and I said, forget about the black interior. Aston Martin Racing Green, blood red interior. And they said, done, but now it's your car. Because we're not going to be able to move.
Yeah. You can't sell that.
No, if you want to do black on black or gray with a black interior, whatever those kind of silver with black interior, whatever, we'll do any of that. This crazy Aston Martin Racing Green with a blood red interior, that's your car.
I got a similar story. A friend of mine, an actor, absolutely loved Bentleys. And when the small Bentley when it first came out, the convertible came out, he went down and I was with him. And he picked the color, the interior. He did everything. It was like he was salivating and half hot rock hard all the way through the whole thing. And the car came in. He got it about 4.5 months later. We were driving along Sunset, and a deeper yellow one went by. And he looked at it, and he looked at me, and he went, fuck, I got the wrong color. And I couldn't stop laughing for about a half an hour.
And that's why making the nothing but net with the hot dog wrapper, you'll never have that experience with that. And if you miss, it doesn't sting that bad. All right.
I enjoyed that.
We'll take a break. Good sports coming up. RJ Bell coming up. We'll do all that right after this. Hey, it's Adam Carolla.
It's Mark Garagos.
We do a show called Reasonable Doubt.
Best hour in the universe.
Sometimes 54 minutes.
And sometimes we've been known to do 48 minutes as well, and sometimes an hour six.
Either way, we round up. Best hour. Like Mark Bill.
It's exactly like in 6 minute intervals. Exactly.
Every Saturday on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Subscribe to Reasonable Doubt, the best hour in the universe. With Mark Garagos and Adam Carolla. Every Saturday on Podcast One, Carolla Digital, and Apple Podcasts.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it. Good sport.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Sports here on Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla over there. Ace, we were talking earlier in the week about, technology, and sometimes that it upsets us, and it's surprising how fast it moves. What do you think? Your friend, 1780s guy, what do you think? I have a suspicion that if he were to arrive in our Lord's year, 2018, what do you think would shock him the most on the planet Earth right now?
I got to say, growing up and seeing, like, cartoons for, like, Dick Tracy, where he would, like, talk into his watch, and seeing, like, Star Trek, where they would communicate into the whatever. The fact that you have a phone and that you could watch pornography on your phone,
uh-huh,
or that you could find out the combined weight of the interior lineman for the New England Patriots by just typing in a few, if somebody said, hey, Janet from Three's Company, when was she born? And you went, hold on, tick, 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 October 27th, 1959. And then it would ring, and then it'd be a friend of yours in Nebraska, and you could talk to him. And meanwhile, you guys are just walking through a park with 1780s guy. I feel like that one device, that thing that was like the size of a pack of cigarettes that you could talk to anyone around the world in, and then also could calculate any, if there was any piece of information or trivia that you wanted to settle, you just type it in. It would pop up.
That would be up there, I think. And by the way, Joyce DeWitt, it is funny in hindsight that she was the pitch woman for a long time for legs, pantyhose, the mm-hmm. egg thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she was considered to be the gold standard, a leggy back then. That's kind of weird when you see an old Three's Company. Like, that's the number one. She's the number one you could get.
We went from legs
to boobs, and now we're on asses. And now it's all about the ass.
It's funny because I consider myself a leg man. I've always considered myself that. I think it's because of that.
Society has thrown you into the dustbin. They've moved on without you. There used to be a leg man or boob man or whatever. And now, can I say this? Can I say this, Sheck? I am going to say this.
Thank you.
You know the people we hate? We hate these people. Like when you talk about your hypothetical. You know, you go, all things being equal, if something happened to me and my wife, I think a man and a woman raising them would be preferential. And they go, so if those guys were junkies who had who fought and raised pit bulls and lived in Sunland, you would rather have them than raised with David Geffen on his 427-foot yacht in the south of France with his partner? You would rather, okay? Is that what you're saying? And I said, no. I started with all things equal, all things being equal. So we can't do David Geffen in his yacht, and these guys can't be cooking up meth in their bathtub. But I appreciate that's the way you hear things. When I say to people,
they're the worst arguers in the world. I can't stand people who warp my argument to my face like that.
So if you say, I'm a boob man. They go, okay. So if her face was burnt off with acid and she was morbidly obese but had a big set of knockers, and it's like, no, attractive. And I like boobs, not a troll with boobs, not a player piano with boobs, an attractive woman. That's the boob man thing. I don't know why you have to destroy the rest of this poor woman if I just say that. And by the way, is the answer ever yes? Yes, a woman who's been disfigured in an industrial accident with a D cup. That's what I'm talking about.
What's the motivation?
You know what I want to yell at these people all the time? Yes, I'm insane.
Also, the other side of that, the hypothetical coin that bothers me is when people tell on themselves needlessly about things that, did you see that fireman? That was so brave. He ran into a burning building and saved that dog. I mean, would you ever do something like that? Whew, I don't think I could ever do it. No, the answer is yes. You're not going to be asked to do it. Of course, anything that makes you look better that's hypothetical, you'd say you take that one. Yes. Whoa, that makes me look good, and it's highly unlikely I'm ever going to have to do it? Of course I would do that. You know what? I'm selfless. That's how I'm built. That's how I'm wired.
Now,
that's what you say.
Now it's like, I saw that story on CNN, and I wept openly. Openly. It is outlined, and in 50 years we'll all be chicks. Dylan, you got to find in 50 years we'll all be chicks. And one of the parts of us sort of jumping the shark and becoming women is I said back in the day, guys would tell a version of a story that you knew was BS. It was sort of the equivalent of the chick's car wouldn't start. And you'd go, pop the hood, let me have a look. Even if you had no idea what you were looking at, you still went, pop the hood, let me have a look. That's what a guy did. And we'd have this version of, you know, this guy, he cut me off. He threw me a bird, flipped me the bird. Next thing you know, we're sitting at a red light. He looks at me. I look at him. I say, hey, you want some? Come get some. He rolled his window up and locked his door. He didn't want none of this. Now, we all know that's not how it went, but that's your version of it. Now, guys tell stories that highlight their pussy. Their pussy, dude. It's like, this guy started to get out of his car. I dialed OnStar and plots myself. I didn't know what to do. So what I did is I just grabbed my traveling with my mom and I just pushed her out in front of him. And I sped off. I don't know what became of her. She still hasn't come home. Like, that's their story. You're supposed to embellish. I'm sure Davy Crockett and Daniel Boone didn't do all the things we thought they did. You know what I mean? But how would it work out today? Like, oh, man, Davy Crockett, he's going down the Mississippi. He saw one Indian, and it was a chick, and he just surrendered. He gave her his raft, and then
She looked like she knew her way around the bow and arrow. I wasn't going to...
You don't want any trouble, I'll tell you that much. He went home, lit a big fire, and just relax.
I suspect, by the way, to go back to the question I asked you a couple minutes ago, I think that if 1780s guy, even if you could say, like, hey, by the way, in the last 200 plus years, we've been able with medicine to extend life by like double from when you were alive. When you were alive, people lived about 40. Now they lived about 80. How about that? Like, cool, but let me see more of this TV business. Now, this is what I'm seeing is other human beings. This is happening as we speak, and they're running into each other in colorful get-ups here and throwing that oblong ball around. Tell me, this is live, and this is happening as we speak. That would be too much. They would be like, I'll take this for my 40 years of life. I don't care if you can extend my life by 80. Just give me the TV so I can watch this.
I, 1780s guy, was this character we used to do on the late night show.
One of your greatest inventions.
You can look it up. You can YouTube 1780s guy. It was a funny guy. It made me laugh. Anyway, it was the running joke was I never explained anything to him. But either way, when I heard the first TiVo commercials where they would go, pause, live TV, I remember just looking at that in 2002 going, how can you pause? It's live TV where you get the actors to stop or the football players. What do you mean pause? Live TV. I remember mind blown. I heard them say it too. That was kind of their big argument. Like, hey, the phone rings or someone knocks on the door, just pause it. And I'd be like, that'll never. You can't do that.
That is really one of the seminal inventions for Adam Carolla. And who know him, because Adam Carolla's ability to freeze the frame live so that he can then comment on what's happening at any given moment can turn a half-hour sitcom into a four-and-a-half-hour learning opportunity for the people with you.
That is the worst thing that ever happened to Lynette.
Do you see the belt? I mean, did they start doing belts?
Oh, my God. Dylan, you have the paragraph from the book, by the way?
I do indeed.
All right, this is in 50 years, we'll all be chicks.
Forget about actually being a man's man. Guys don't even bother to lie about being manly anymore. It used to be a fella would at least have enough dignity that when he was driving with the missus and the car wouldn't start, even though he didn't know what the fuck to look for, he'd say, pop the hood. He'd stand there and stare at the engine for a while, set his cigarette on top of the air cleaner, and yell, try it now. Of course the engine wouldn't start, but at least he looked like a man. Now the guy just says, call AAA. I don't want to get my cuticles dirty.
Well, there you go. And there's another fight version of that. Maybe we'll play it on the
You and Lynch really captured the Adam Carolla voice there. That sounds like you speaking.
That was me. Let me tell you what captures my voice. BetOnline.ag, NFL, college football, biggest UFC fight of the year. It's all happening. It's a sports fan's dream. Don't wait any longer to make your online wagers. Head on over to BetOnline.ag. Take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Use the promo code PODCAST1, just podcast, numeral one. Receive 50% sign-up bonus today. That's podcast one. Get a 50% sign-up bonus today. The biggest fight of the year, Conor McGregor, Khabib, Nurmagomedov, something like that. He's a killer. I checked into the odds. Conor's a slight favorite. I bet those odds will change a little bit. Khabib is 26-0, unbeaten, and he has the cauliflower ear. Which,
does
by the way, I would like to make a prosthetic cauliflower ear just to pop on, not to get messed with. You know what I mean? Walk in any bar you want with that cauliflower ear. Nobody's going to mess with you.
I guess that's true, right. And that has been a big transition from high school into adulthood lesson is that Cousin Sal, you know, little guy, you know, not a tall guy, you know, has been husky over the years, you know. He could take down anyone we know, including Ray or you, right?
That's right.
Because he can wrestle.
He can wrestle. October 6th is the big fight, Las Vegas T-Mobile Arena. So you don't want to miss out on all the action, McGregor, NFL, college football. Go to betonline.ag, exclusive partners of Podcast One Sports Net. All right, Jeff.
I do wonder if a wrestler could beat anybody. A good wrestler could beat anybody in a fight. We'll consider that and more hot sports talk on the next episode of Good Sports. For now, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damaschek, Podcast One Sports out. Good Sports.